Great to be with you. Today is July the 19th, 2020, and if you would take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 21. Have you ever read a verse that maybe you've read many, many times before, and then suddenly it seems to just have a big impact? I mean, more so than it did before. Or maybe a section of scripture. You know, that's what that is increased understanding. Because the Word of God is inexhaustible. And as we continue to read, study, and consider God's Word, our understanding continues to grow. And that's why whenever you read a portion of God's Word that you've read before, or listen to a teaching about a topic that you've heard before, you know, we have to make a conscious effort to not think, I've read this before. I've heard this before. I know what this is about. I know what other verses are related to this. Instead, we need to make an effort to be attentive to the words of God, have great reverence to what God is saying, so that God can then open our hearts and the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened even further. And I mention that because I'm sure all of us this morning have heard a teaching or two about the return of Jesus Christ. Yes? He is coming back. And so this morning, as we consider this, be attentive to the scriptures so that your understanding can be increased. This life is full of uncertainties. When it comes to like our physical lives and how long we're going to live, it's uncertain. Now, I tell people I want to live to be at least 93, but it's really selfish reasons, because when I'm 93, my son, Michael, will be 60. And so I just really would like to see what my son looks like when he's 60 years old. So it's kind of a selfish reason, if you would. But you know what? It's still uncertain. Where's our country headed politically? It's uncertain. Where will the prices of things that we buy, where will they be in 2 years or 3 years? It's uncertain. There are so many things in the future that are uncertain. But there is one thing that is absolutely certain. Jesus Christ is coming back. And whether we believe it or not, it makes no difference. It's set. It will happen absolutely and most certainly. And when that day comes, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, this is what we have to look forward to: a great future. Verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Oh my goodness, think of that. If that's all there was in the Bible about our hope, it would still be a great hope, right? The life we live now, at times, difficult, challenging, disappointments. And you know something? That's not God's design. God never made human beings with the intent that our lives were to be difficult and we suffer all the way through life. What was his original intent? Well, in Genesis, it tells us, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion over everything. Yes, Adam was to work in the garden, but be fruitful and multiply. Beautiful, right? Enjoy life. It's only after the fall that we read about in the sweat of thy brow, thorns and thistles, and all of that stuff. See, the Bible tells us where all the sickness, the oppression, the hatred, the lies, murder, where all that evil comes from. We looked at that a few weeks ago. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our adversary is very real, as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But in the midst of all that, God has not left us helpless. God has given us his word to believe so that we may receive help from him. He's given us his spirit. It's not a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given us access to him by way of the spirit in us. We are not helpless people, and we're not hopeless people either. If this life is all there is, it would be pointless. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. And you probably have read these verses before, but we're going to read some of them this morning. In verse 12, we'll start. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith also vain. Yeah, we're found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If this life that we're living now, if this is it, then what really is the point of anything? I mean, if in this life you amass a fortune of, I don't know, $10 million, what good is it to you when you die? Because at that moment, for you, it's pointless. If you live to be 110 years old, hallelujah, and then you die, if this life is all there is, what's the point? Now, of course, you can live a good, godly life. You can leave a legacy of doing wonderful things. You can end up being one of the most popular or influential persons of your time. But when you die, at that moment, for you, what good does any of that do? At that point, it's pointless. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That was the ultimate game changer. After God raised him from the dead, Jesus walked the earth for 40 days teaching God's people. And then they watched him ascend up into the clouds out of their sight. And the very first words from God Almighty by way of the angels to those men that were gazing up into heaven, right after Jesus Christ ascended, it's in Acts 1, I'm going to read it at the end of the teaching. They said, this same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Wow. He is coming back. It is absolutely certain, and nothing will prevent it. That is our great hope. Hope always relates to the future. And while much of the future in our lives may be uncertain, the return of Jesus Christ is absolutely certain. Back in December of 2000, I believe it was December, could have been late November, but I'm thinking it was early December of 2000, I was working for the radio station and they came up with a promotion where they worked with a travel company and they offered these trips, these wonderful trips, at a really great price. And they needed one of us who worked at the radio station to go along and be the host of the trip. So in December of 2000, Kathy and I found out we are going to Italy. All expenses paid for 8 days. The trip was planned for February. So, what was it like for me during those 2 months. I'll tell you what it was like. Great anticipation. Are you kidding me? We're going to Italy for free? Something really big and special was coming. And during those 2 months, dealing with the everyday hassles of life didn't seem to be a very big deal because I'm going to Italy. The hope, the anticipation, the excitement of that trip far outweighed anything that came up those 2 months. Now, if you've ever had a very special event planned or a trip, I mean, you can relate. We have a really special trip coming up. In verse 49 of this chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither shall corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," which is referring to dying. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Wow, what a day that's going to be. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to come right back here, but I'd like to also read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Again, I'm sure familiar, but let's look at it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Oh, gee, that's what the angel said, remember? This same Jesus shall return. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." If you go back to 1 Corinthians 15, please. What a comfort this is to us, to not only meet Jesus Christ in the clouds, but so shall we ever be with him. And then, of course, Philippians tells us that we're going to receive new physical bodies that will be fashioned like his glorious resurrected body, immortal, uncorruptible bodies. Because the physical bodies we have right now, they're really not equipped to head up into the clouds to meet him. They're not equipped to never get sick. They're not equipped to live forever. But the bodies we will get, they will be very well equipped. And you see, this is set. This is not going to change. And it doesn't matter if you believe it or don't believe it. All those who are born again in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going. Is there any vacation or special event, anything you can possibly think of that can top this? Is this not something to be excited about, something to anticipate, something that can give us encouragement in the midst of any crap that you have to deal with? Well, I'll tell you, it is if it's really real to you. Back in 1 Corinthians 15, Well, let's start again in verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your glory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over death itself. What a hope we have. No matter what we face in this life, no matter how difficult, we are going on an extended trip. And so that's why verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, hide out and wait. No, it doesn't say that. Therefore, my beloved brethren, stay miserable, looking only at the problems. Life's so hard. Therefore, my beloved brethren, keep asking God, why is all this happening to me? Why doesn't Jesus Christ come back? No. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wow. God's word is just fantastic, isn't it? With what's coming, God says, therefore, be steadfast, unmovable. You know, and you probably do it too. We all do. Come on. People love to predict the future. Well, I think this is going to happen. Well, I think he'll do that. Well, I think that's what's going to be happening. People love to predict the future, but I'll tell you something. We know the future. We know what's coming. It's not uncertain. Jesus Christ is coming back. And because we know with absolute certainty, we can move forward. We can stay the course. It's like Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy, if you'd like to turn to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. This is at the end of Paul's life when he wrote 2 Timothy. And when he wrote this, everything was collapsing. Very sad time for the church. You can read in Acts where it talks about all Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. What a great outreach of God's word. And then you get to 2 Timothy and Paul says, all Asia has turned away from me. How sad. And you think about all the beatings and sufferings that Paul went through to get the gospel to people. And now so many that heard God's word through his ministry have turned away. Remember when he told the Corinthians, gee, seems the more I love you, the less I be loved. Last week, we looked at that one verse where it says, you know, we were pressed out of measure, despaired even of life. Paul was a human being. He had feelings, but he never quit. Why? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It was the hope of Christ's return that kept him going. Not just hanging on, not just sitting around feeling sorry for himself, wishing Christ would come back today. Oh, I can't take it. He was steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It was the hope of Christ's return that kept him going. And look in chapter 4, verse 6. It's the end of his life. For I am now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What an example for us. Because we too can fight the good fight. We too can keep the faith, the right way of believing. We too can finish our course. And then the next verse, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Make no mistake, God is keeping score. And God will reward you for your faithfulness. We just read in Corinthians, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We will receive reward, compensation, Sometimes, like here in 2 Timothy, it's figuratively referred to as crowns. God will compensate, reward us for the good that we've done. You see, every born-again believer, we will all be gathered together to meet Christ in the clouds. We didn't work for that, right? It's grace. We'll all get new bodies. We didn't work for that. That's God's grace. We'll all have eternal life. And again, we didn't work for that. It's God's grace. In addition, we will each be rewarded for our own faithfulness to God's word. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 8, now he that plants and he that waters are one. And look at this. And every man, every person, shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Everyone receives his own reward or compensation for his or her own works. Okay? That's very fair of God, isn't it? You bet it is. If you go to verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man or woman's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every person's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work abides, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, think about this for a minute. In 1 Thessalonians, we read that we've been delivered from the wrath to come, right? Wrath means judgment. We've been delivered from God's judgment. We've already been judged righteous. We find that in Romans. In Romans tells us we've already been made righteous because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1 tells us there is therefore now no condemnation, no more guilty verdict for those who are born again. That's why there are two categories here. All the junk, the missteps, the falling short in our lives. That's the wood, hay, stubble category. And it's just all burned up. But, the gold, silver, precious stones category, that's the good stuff. That's the good things, the faithfulness to God and His Word. And that remains, and that is what we will be rewarded for. Isn't it beautiful? At that day, everything in a pile, all the junk you've done, the bad stuff you messed up, wood, hay, stubble, burned up, gone. What's left? Oh, okay. That's what we're rewarded on. When a person gets born again, saved, we receive eternal life. We get God's Spirit. The Spirit of God is in you. And that great reality, as you know, is mentioned and referred to a number of ways in the Scriptures. Incorruptible seed, the new man, the new nature, the token of our inheritance, the Spirit of God in you. Romans 8 says Christ dwells in you. And isn't it interesting that Colossians says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. These rewards, this compensation is part of our hope of glory. Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. When we're hired and work a job, we certainly expect to be compensated for our work. And some people work very hard for a long time to gain great compensation, and that's good. But again, all that compensation is still temporary. When you take your last breath, all that compensation for all of whatever you've done, it ends for you. I mean, it might benefit others, and that's wonderful, but for you it ends. But these rewards, the compensation God is talking about here, these are eternal rewards. And every one of us will receive his or her own rewards according to what we do now in this life. Be faithful to God and his word. What a hope we have to look forward to. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. We get new bodies, like Jesus Christ's resurrected body. We will live with him forever, and we will be rewarded for our faithfulness. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain. God will reward you. I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians 4. I think we might have looked at this several weeks ago. Verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. All this stuff, it's just temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Affliction is mental pressure from anything. Light mental pressure. Really? When's the last time you asked somebody how they're doing and they said, oh, I'm doing okay, just a little light mental pressure going on. Does it ever seem light? God, in this verse, is giving us a comparison. This verse is God's comparison to give us proper perspective, especially when times are tough. Compared to the hope, compared to what's coming for you and me, no matter what we go through or face in our lives, compared to our hope, it is not only light affliction, but it's just for a moment.
How long do I have to keep going through this crap?
Compared to eternity, just for a moment. And what's coming for you and for me is a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, during those couple of months before that trip to Italy, I would check out some of the details of where we were going. And the more I did, the more excited I got. Now, I couldn't do that all day long, right? I still had to go to work. I still had other responsibilities. But very frequently, almost every day, checking out some things. Hey, Kathy, look. Oh, wow. We get to go to Florence. Isn't that where the Statue of David is? Wow, that is going to be so cool. And see, here's the point. As I thought about the details of that trip, not just, well, I'm going on a trip in February. Hey, I'm excited. I'm going on a trip. As I thought about the details of that trip, the little everyday hassles seemed kind of insignificant because I was going on a really great trip. Sometimes this life is difficult. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's not fair. Sometimes it's really, really hard. But we're all going on a very exciting and extended trip someday. And if we make a conscious effort to consistently remind ourselves about the hope, not just, oh, I just can't wait till Christ comes back because this sucks. No. Think about what's coming. We get to meet Jesus Christ up in the clouds to see our Savior face to face. I was taking a walk early this morning and there were a lot of clouds and sunrise was just so colorful. It doesn't usually happen. It was pinkish orange. It was just gorgeous. And as I was walking, I started thinking about meeting him in the clouds. All of us up in the clouds. See, we can consistently remind ourselves about the hope. We're going to meet him face to face in the clouds. God is going to reward you. God is going to give you a new body. What's that going to be like? No more sickness or death or pain. What's that going to be like? As we consistently remind ourselves of what God said is coming, it will give us what we need to be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. It will help us greatly in fighting the good fight, keeping the faith, and finishing our course. We will see that what we endure in this life is light, momentary mental pressure compared to an eternal weight of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and he is coming back. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving, kind, merciful Heavenly Father, how thrilled we are this morning to anticipate the great gathering together that you have promised, that is set, that is absolutely certain. Father, how grateful we are for the completed work of Jesus Christ, and Father, how thankful we are that you raised him from the dead. And Father, as we anticipate that great day, we are so encouraged to know what waits us. And Father, as we continue in our lives, may we hold that hope dear to us. May it be real. And Father, as we face what we face, may we continue to look to you for your help, because you've not left us helpless, and we certainly aren't hopeless. Thank you for all that you've given to us in the wonderful name of our risen Lord and returning Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you all for being here today. I'm going to post this teaching on the blog, and we'll be back here again next Sunday, unless the Lord returns. If that happens, we're going to be meeting together in the clouds, face to face, no masks required. So have a blessed week. I love you. God bless you.